for a long time, I was hiding myself. And it honestly didn't do me any service, or it did the art a disservice as well.
You want to talk about someone who's put a mark on the city of Detroit? Think about places like the Detroit versus Everybody mural on Russell Street, the Brush Street Viaduct mural, LGBT Detroit, Brilliant Detroit on Hazelwood. These are some of the many spots all across town where you can find murals by Backpack Durden. And it's not just murals, by the way, Backpack calls a specialty. They've been known to style hair, to ink tattoos, to illustrate.
Leaning into my own narrative as a trans person and a multi-dimensional, intersectional human being who experiences the world in this certain way, I felt like it was important to be visible but safe.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Master of all, Backpack Durden is one of those people whose work speaks for itself and speaks in many languages. When you meet them, you'll see that there's so much more to their story. They join us now from their home in Detroit. Backpack Durden, welcome to Stateside.
Hello.
What do you remember about being a young artist? Could you just take us back and tell us about some first favorite things to create?
Favorite things. I used to just like make stuff really tiny and then sell it back to my parents. Like I used to make these pillows made out of construction paper stapled together, and then I would draw and write their favorite things on it and stuff it with tissue and then sell it to them. And they paid for it, so that was appreciated.
You know, it's not every artist that can get that successful business plan, especially
right.
Not from the early days. That's awesome. What did they, like, did they open them up then, or did they just know that you had stuffed them with goodness?
I had to sell them on it. I had to sell them on the idea of what it was, and that you just had to let it be, because it was art, you know?
Parents are the best.
Parents are awesome. But other than that, I used to draw all the time and draw really small, and then everything tiny would make something bigger, and it didn't make sense until it was completely done.
Were you in a place where there were a lot of other creatives around you? Did you know a lot of artists growing up?
I didn't know people to be artists. I knew people to be people, I guess, and they had creative pursuits. My grandmother was a seamstress and also a world traveler, and she would collect a bunch of art and statues and pretty much everything from all over the world. So I was surrounded by that and surrounded by everything she made and made us wear. And my mom was an illustrator and a painter, but went toward video production and then ended up not doing most of that. And my brother was an illustrator as well.
Mm. Will you tell me about some of the things that your grandma, as you put it, made you wear? That sounds very intriguing.
First outfit I can think of is from Easter. And me and my sister had matching outfits. And this like gold foil looking coat with a matching hat. And it's got like this quilted lining look to it. And it was hot. I remember it was hot. And I had to wear like patent leather shoes. It was, that was my childhood, I think.
First of all, I really need that for the cold winter. I don't understand why this was an Easter outfit. This clearly should have been Christmas finery. But also, it sounds like you come from a line of explosively creative people.
That's
not something everybody's gram would stitch up for them. I love it.
Right.
There's an interesting story, I feel, for every muralist as we find out how the imagination grew into larger and larger spaces. Could you talk a little bit about how your practice moved from, you know, painting and forms of illustration into mural art?
Well, this is a fun story. People would tell me that I should paint because I was always drawing really, really small detail. But no one told me why I should paint. And it wasn't until, I would say, I started working with Sydney James, assisting her on murals, and just learning all of her techniques and how she scales up her illustrations in her paintings. And then I accidentally started painting with oils via
accidentally.
My partner at the time was an oil painter, and she said that I could use the paints if I wanted to. And I was like, I don't want to paint. And then I was bored enough one day, and I did it, and it made sense. So, but they both started at the same time, painting studio and painting mural. It was like, I would say a year or two difference between when I started painting for myself and painting for other people. And then a year after I started oil painting, or within the same year, I started painting my own murals.
What do you like about that, having that kind of a space to work on?
It's intimidating at first, and then I think it's a chance to make a concept larger and reach more people, and then it turns into fun instead of scary. So I like that more than anything.
Nice. That actually brings me around to something that I wanted to ask you about. You know, you mentioned that you've been drawing forever.
Yeah.
When I look at your murals, I just see a mastery of light and image that really is unique. Sydney James has that too. You know, I see that in her work. But you have such a painterly grasp on that. Is there anything that you think really was formative to you in developing that visual style, especially when you're painting people?
Oh, cinema. I am inspired by cinema and the fact that you can capture so much without saying a lot and with saying almost too much. But like the cross section between film and cinema and would say Baroque art, and then that fits within a larger bubble of identity and telling that story. So I want to make sure that the light is telling a story, the subjects are telling the story, the color is telling a story, like everything is considered.
Time for a break. When we get back, more with artist Backpack Durden. That's in just a minute.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Backpack, you do a fair number of self-portraits. Some of them are solo. I am really, really captivated by one that I think is a more recent work where you've sort of inserted yourself across a couple of geometric planes. The portrait's called Not This Again. Could you tell us a little bit about that one?
I don't actually really like painting myself, honestly, but I'm the narrative that I know the best and the most, and that I feel I have the privilege to tell the story of. And in this instance, it was basically a mental health crisis and falling into depression constantly, like a cyclical, the cyclical nature of falling into depression. So that one was that one.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the physical posture in that one?
Okay. I'm falling through the triangle because it's a quick fall into depression and a long climb out of it. So sometimes you just get blindsided, and that's that whole motion is you get blindsided and you fall into it. And you're going from a spectrum of colors into a monochromatic black and white space. And yeah, there's a shift.
You've also worked to highlight some issues in neurodiversity and mental health. That self-portrait, Not This Again, is a perfect example. You know, sort of keeping that opening that conversation and keeping it open. And it's something that the culture often, it feels like our culture would often like to sideline or just treat as a niche issue.
Right.
Why is this something that's been important for you to take on?
It's important because I can't talk about it. It's so hard to talk about, especially because everyone's experience is different. So through therapy nowadays, I'm learning to understand that the visual medium is my language, and that's how I can explain to other people better than my words can, because they fail me oftentimes. So I would try and use an analogy to explain how I'm feeling, and it wasn't being understood. And so I made it into a visual, like the one with the spinning top. That one is a direct reflection of, I think, going into an anxiety attack. Now I've got some distance from it.
We should mention that the painting with the spinning top is called Control. People can see it at Backpack's website. You also have done a portrait of yourself with your partner, Syra Dardis. It's beautiful and joyful. What does it mean to you to portray your own self and your public work in these ways?
I often try to block my face and others, unless it's absolutely necessary to have someone's face in it. But in our instance for this mural, Constellation in Winter, it's on the LGBT Center, which was like, I didn't think that I would be able to paint on something that was so reflective of my identity so soon, I guess. And I was like, well, I think we should just like show love in the most basic form, in a non-gendered way, like as a photograph even, and it worked out, I think.
Can I take a sec to describe it?
Yeah.
You've chosen to portray you and Syra as, I mean, what we really see is just your hands clasping, and you're in a posture that's, you know, you're sitting very close together. It's just very intimate and very everyday, you know, just kind of something that you might see, you know, any couple do. And yet it's so relaxed and so kind of not remarkable in that way, which is, it's kind of what makes it wonderful for me.
I agree. Yeah. Not remarkable is beautiful.
Was it frightening to start thinking about using your art to talk about those issues and also to be more open? Has that process become any easier over time?
I was going to say no, but I think so. I think it's become easier because once I went up three steps, there was someone there to hold my hand to the next three steps, and then someone else to pat my back on the next three steps. And the language and the idea and the understanding has been lifted and like expanding. And I'm even understanding myself more. and I'm hopefully helping other people to understand themselves more, and hopefully me too. And it's like a snowball effect. You're just going to keep picking up more snow and keep rolling.
I think we don't talk about mental health enough. I especially think we don't talk about it for people who do creative work and who, you know, they do the work they love. So everybody assumes that, you know, they should be doing great. In your work with other artists, how do you see mental health coming up?
It comes up in so many ways, but when it comes to the work itself, it isn't always, it's not on the surface of what it is. But if you go a few layers lower, you understand that this person is struggling and trying to explain that in this way where they feel safe. But people see this beautiful thing and they want to have it at a price that they need to have it. They don't care who made it. Like, it's sometimes it ends up like that, but sometimes it's on the back end of surrounding yourself with the right community and then them understanding it and uplifting your work and working through the things that you need to work through.
Yeah. Detroit's creative profile has become so high in recent years. What does being an artist in Detroit mean to you right now?
Oh boy. Well, at this juncture, it means build the right community. Because there in the past, everything has been predicated on ego, I think. And now we're getting in right relation with longevity and sustainability. And I think it just took a lot of time to realize that we shouldn't be fighting each other. We should be building everyone up. So,
Backpack, Detroit's creative scene has gotten just this incredible boost of national and global attention. And there are creators coming to Detroit these days from all over the place. And there's plenty of middle-class white people coming. But there are also people of color coming to Detroit who want to take part in the community and who want to take part in the energy. Do you think at all about the balance? I mean, it's great to have a lot of resources and a lot of money pouring into the city.
Right.
But it has at times led to people who have been doing things here the hard way of their whole lives getting left out. How do you think about that balance?
There's a way to find a balance, but oftentimes people want to move too fast and go the route that they know to work instead of considering the folks that, like, are from here that do get left behind. I think the balance comes down to humility and listening. Yeah. Humanity?
Yeah.
Empathy? Yeah. I don't know. There's, like, I could go on about, like, how not having the education that's been, you know, held over our heads has held me back. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't care. I'm gonna keep making art. I'm gonna keep being a good person. I'm gonna keep being like building community with folks that want to build community and be in right relation to the things that are shaking out in the world. And if you miss it, then that's your fault, as opposed to beating myself up about being looked over all the time.
Backpack, it is such a pleasure talking to you. We kind of want to just know about everything you're working on all the time. So please do keep in touch. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Of course.
Backpack Durden, see their work all over Detroit. Like, literally, all over Detroit. And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT, additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. See you next time.